You can actually drive change. Otherwise, you're a victim of what you think people thought of you yesterday, instead of actually starting to decide, like Patagonia, we are going to be this. And people, some people will hate us, some people will love us, but this is where we're going.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Frontify podcast, where we check exciting topics from the realm of brand, creative, and marketing. My name's Janine, I'm your host today, and I'm talking to Gia and Freddie from Snosk. And if you've not guessed it already, today's topic is about why ethics in branding matters. And I am super excited to have both Gia and Freddie here with me today.
Frederick,
thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really excited and it's a pleasure to meet you both.
Thank you for inviting us and so nice to meet you as well.
Yeah, we're super excited.
That's really cool. So before we dive in, can you tell us a bit more about yourselves and about your company and what you do?
Yeah, so my name is Freddie and I'm the founder and brand director at Snosk. And this is Gia.
Hello, I'm the CEO of Snosk.
And we've been around for like 15 years now, and we started out with zero experience from the industry, straight from university. And a lot of people told us you need 10 years of experience in the industry before you can start your own agency. But we felt that we would then probably get old white men's experience instead of our own. So we decided to just skip that, make all the mistakes ourselves, and start up the company straight from university and make all the mistakes ourselves. And that's basically where we are still 15 years later. We make mistakes, we learn from them, we move on, and we find our own way. So that's, yeah, a little bit short about Snosk.
I think it looks like it paid off, right? To skip what everybody else tells you and just do it your own way. So, we're going to dive in today's topic, and we're going to start maybe with a bit of a definition question and really just first kind of set the stage what ethics and branding means for you both and also how you would tell people why it's important to talk about ethics and branding.
Yeah, so I mean, we've been talking about this quite a lot. And as Fredrik mentioned, also the foundation of Snosk is based very much on moral and passion. So for us, this is sort of a part of our culture. And bringing up ethics is something that, I mean, this could be a really, really, it's a really big topic, a lot of gray zones, black and white. But it's about taking responsibility. And also, I mean, we work with communication, we work with branding. We strive to build trustworthy, genuine, authentic brands. I mean, these are buzzwords everyone uses, but they are so important and sort of understanding your role and what you can do. So discussing and talking about ethics more and more is something of like it's a normality at the moment. And I mean, also a lot of our audiences and the crowd out there are demanding much more transparency. You need to stand up for something and you need to be authentic about it.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, millennials were doing it a lot more than any other generation. And now Gen Z Zcams comes and they do it a lot more than the millennials. So naturally, that's where the world is going with branding, that you start to identify with brands, and actually the opposite with Gen Z, they bring brands into their life and their lifestyle. And then it becomes even more important that that brand also is like shares the values that you have. Mm-hmm. And I think we think that the brands that don't do this will become obsolete after a while.
How does the branding or ethical branding impact you personally in your job, but also your company as a whole? Would you say kind of maybe it also affects your talent acquisition or the people that find you, the companies that find you? Like, how does the entire topic impact you on a daily basis?
Well, I think it's a super interesting approach in terms of what Freddie and the others that founded Snusk has been building is the, what do you call it, the space to speak freely, to stand up for your own ideas, for your morale. And this is, as I mentioned, something that's part of the culture. And I mean, when people approach us, as you mentioned, talent acquisitions or clients, they do often say, well, we want to work with you because you have strong opinions. We know that you don't say do it just because you say do it. You need to have a purpose. You always push ourselves and yourself. So, I mean, it's part of our beliefs. But with that said, I mean, people are allowed to have their own opinions in what they believe in. But for us, it's important to sort of build a culture around it and being able to say no if we don't feel that it's ethically moral, or if we feel like this is something that doesn't work, both before we start to work, both during our processes and after.
Yeah, and I think that something that you touch upon, Gia, is like the genuinity of everyone working at Snusk and Snusk as a brand when we work with clients. To be genuine and honest is a big way of our approach. And some clients actually chose us because we were the only one being honest and actually maybe criticizing them in a way, but telling them that we can fix this, but this is not right at the moment. Or we think that what you're asking for is maybe not what you actually need to do in the first step. And sometimes we, of course, lost a pitch because we were honest and they didn't get what they wanted, a fun idea or whatever, because we were maybe thinking that there's a deeper thing here that we need to fix. But otherwise, we also win a lot of like work because we are honest. Mm. And I think the deep down in us is we need to be able to be genuine and honest and have that relationship with the client. We also kind of demand the client to do that homework with their target group, as Gia said as well. It's super important that you have that genuinity. And we will talk more about this today.
Mm-hmm. I think that sounds like an excellent foundation to also build relationship and make sure that you attract the partners that you want to work with that actually want genuine change. So it is in line with what you want to do or what your purpose is as well. I want to throw in a bit of a philosophical question. Is it important that brands apply ethics for the right reasons, or is it important that they just do it at all?
Well, you know, I think we would say at first, it's sort of like you just have to do it. You have to start. You have to take a stand. But there's no quick fixes to it. So if you don't fill it with trustworthiness or with content and you actually believe it yourself, well, then it's a waste of time. So, I mean, there is a gray zone in terms of, okay, do certain companies follow trends in sort of highlighting or believing or following a certain trend in that way? Does that help their brand? Well, I don't know. Short term, perhaps, but long term, no. So, I mean, that's sort of like our standing point. In if you do it, make it trustworthy and make it consistent. But we would rather see that you actually try and learn from your mistakes if it doesn't really go the way you want the first time.
Yeah, and I think that, that the importance that brands do think about this and what it actually, the change it can create, is the consequences of this will be that you maybe have to deliver on what you're saying. But actually, it's a philosophical question. If we take Gillette, for example, the very masculine razor brand, always done very, very male, masculine ads all the time. And suddenly they did one on toxic masculinity, which is a topic that very, very few brands have raised. And so they do that. And I mean, even if they don't deliver on it, the fact that someone did raise that topic and spent money on pushing that out to the world, making it something that you speak about around the coffee tables, in that sense, it is, of course, a good thing. It is even if they don't mean it, it could still be something good in that they did it. But of course, if it devalues the whole topic of masculine and toxic masculinity, it doesn't become good. But of course, if they actually also deliver on it, they change their internal structure, how they speak, treat each other, how they act, and they actually create change, then it's only good. So it is philosophical. So the importance of brands starting now to care about it, we believe that comes from pressure, because before that, brands were like, but we're not a political company, so we don't want to say this or that. But when it comes to Black Lives Matter, it's not a political question. It's like human rights, and that shouldn't even be hard. But they then think that if we post a black square, we then have to deliver on it, which means that they have to start thinking about who they employ, how they think about gender and equality and ethnicity and everything. And that for them becomes hard. But if they do it genuinely and they actually start to deliver on it, it's just good. And it's just, yeah.
I think there's sort of like been a shift in terms of communication. Before, it was more like selling the vision and everything should look nice, and you want to sort of be that person that they have in their commercials or things like that. But now it's more about behind the scenes as well, which just makes ethics and sort of working with these questions so much more interesting, because you do have to have a depth in there. You do have to have values, because otherwise you become random or perhaps not even interesting anymore. So I totally agree with the pressure part, but also that sort of times are changing in general of what you demand, looking at yourself in terms of how you look at companies.
Is it maybe also that in the past it was more a push out towards the public or the people that resonate with your brands, and now I think brands are taking much more the feedback or the echo into consideration, that they are actually getting the pressure you talked about? I think goes very well into that realm that more and more brands are actually like kind of incorporating that feedback into a feedback loop that constantly lets their brand evolve as well.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, that's really on point. And I think that, I mean, the whole world of advertisement and marketing and communication have changed from, as you say, pushing out a rational sales message or a product benefit to people and making them go and buy it. Instead, now people don't work like that. The world doesn't work like that. And maybe we never worked like that, or we did, but it has changed. And nowadays, we're not persuaded by an ad in that sense anymore. We're more like, when we are ready to buy something, a service or a product, we should have a certain brand top of mind. And in order for a brand to be top of mind, you have to resonate with your values. You have to be interesting enough. It's like any relationship, like human to human, that you need to be top of mind in someone's head when someone is going to choose you. And that's also, yeah, what's been changing, I think.
So who's top of mind when it comes to really good examples in ethical branding?
I would say that one interesting thing, since we're talking about, because it's gray areas, it's not black and white, nothing is, of course. So when it comes to, for example, Oatly, they brought in Blackstone as one of their investors, and they got a lot of critique for it, because Blackstone has dubious investments in various parts of the world. But they, for them as a brand, they saw it as very logical, because for them, they wanted to create the biggest change in the shortest time frame in order to save the planet, to bring their thing. Their big passion was to change from drinking too much cow milk to drinking vegan milk, oat milk in this sense. And for them, if they were doing that on their own, they would have to build their own distribution networks. It would take hundreds of years to do that. Instead, they were like, let's bring in the owners of the distribution networks, make them realize that they can make money and profit on these products instead. And when having that effect and the change is massive in the end. And yes, they're not holy. They now have some more dirt on their hands maybe, but they know that, okay, this is what the change is going to be about. It's going to be much bigger, rather than being a very nice and eco-friendly small brand that does everything right, but it reaches 100,000 people instead of like a billion. And in that sense, I think that Oatly did the right thing, but it is a very hard question. You have to deliver on it as a brand. And we keep coming back to that, genuinely wanting to create change. That's what this all comes down to. When marketing departments or CEOs or owners, for that matter, if they start to question, but this is just a campaign, then it's kind of dangerous. But if they actually, let's change this, like Patagonia, we won't make money on this. This is not like a ad. We do this because we care. And that's when you're doing it right.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I would also say that Patagonia is, from a personal point of view, one of the brands that for me actually, I mean, they are, a lot of people take them as references, but they are doing something. They take a stand. They're doing it genuinely. And it's not just about sales either. It's about actually creating a difference. And this sort of develop and also do change all the time in terms of how the environment, how the questions are, what's sort of relevant at the moment. So I think they are very impressive in that sense.
Yeah, and it also feels that they are very honest. If they make a mistake, they say it. If they're not certain on a thing, they can say it. But they also go head on with things they strongly believe in. I think that goes for like creatives as well. Like when we choose to work with companies or brands, it's not black and white either. Like you can easily say, we don't work with guns and tobacco and this and that. But then if you actually dig into it, it's kind of hard because, well, you do work with banks and this bank, they invested in this and then blah, blah, blah. And then you are on a very hard, well, more complicated road. Like, for example, we say no to tobacco, for example, companies. But we don't want to be too proud about it because we also work with alcohol. And we would gladly rebrand Absolut Vodka if they come to us. But the consequences of alcohol is massive on like women and children in domestic violence, in suicides, in people dying from alcoholism. It's big. So, I mean, in that sense, I think you also need to be humble, but open about it and say that, yeah, we choose to say no to tobacco, but we're not perfect. Everything is up to the situation all the time and what you can muster as a person.
I think that's what that makes a topic also so difficult, because everybody defines a different line of where it starts and where it ends to them, to their company, to their like family, to their immediate network. And everybody has a different understanding of it. And even though we have like that overall maybe definition of what it feels for us or should be, that also evolves and change. And like you said, it's really about the situation as well, and whether they want to make a genuine change. Are there any consequences brands are facing for taking a stand, but also for not taking a stand?
Yes. I mean, we strongly believe in, for example, in make enemies and gain fans, which is basically our view on branding, that if you were a brand in the 20th century, and you should have opinions and you should stand up for them. And if you do that today, you will get enemies, definitely. But you will get the right kind of enemies. You will also get the right kind of fans. And if you're a company or a brand, fans can be people who don't just scroll past your post. They stop, they like, they tag someone, they share, they comment, or they favorite your post. It's basically called engagement, and it's something that companies and brands pay a lot for. Mm-hmm. But instead, if they could just stand up for something, that would give them this for free. But then they are also afraid of not pleasing everyone. They are afraid of having people not liking them. And yeah, that will definitely be the price you pay, but no one can be likable by everyone. You will become vanilla, and in the end, that will make your brand go like disappear in the end. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I think that it's probably the opposite, that the cause and the consequence of not taking a stand is much, much bigger.
I think my favorite quote is probably, if you, yeah, you can't be all things to all people. And I think that's so true. And also, I would argue heavily on the fact that it's actually easier for your kind of people to find you if you actually take a stand and they very clearly know what you stand for and what you don't stand for.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And I think that in order to do so, you need to have people in management positions to be able to do this. And when we work with clients, we need the people we work with to be key stakeholders and have the mandate to take decisions, because it's super important. And if you have like a room of 10 people and the goal is consensus, and you tell them choose an ice cream to buy, they will always come to the consensus of buying chocolate or vanilla. Because that's how 10 people in a group works, when they reach a consensus. But you will never reach a bold or unique decision or a position if you're using consensus. And the same thing goes with ethics. There will always be risk minimizing. And if you use consensus in a boardroom to reach where you're going to be as a brand, I think you will be in a very dangerous position. You need to take a bold and unique belief statement. And yeah,
I totally agree. I also do see that there is a gray zone in all of this, because sometimes companies sort of react with not reacting, and as we say, if sometimes that might work, but most of the times it is so much that what Frederick is saying about making your point and daring to take a stand. Because I believe that a lot of sort of the mentality for a lot of Swedes is to sort of be in the middle and sort of just follow the stream. So sometimes it feels like, oh, you don't really dare to actually say something else or to actually stand out. It's a mentality thing. I think it's absolutely changing, but also daring to not be likable, as we said, just needs to be emphasized.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that from calling on your quote there, Janine, like, we also have two quotes that we normally use. One is by Tibor Kalman, which is, when you make something no one hates, no one loves it. And also Winston Churchill, who said, you have enemies? Good. That means you stood up for something sometime in your life. And branding can very often be compared to persons. People, humans. And I mean, you don't want to be friends with someone who in every question say, I don't know, I don't really care, I don't have an opinion on that, no, it's fine, whatever, it's okay. I mean, it would drive you insane. You don't even know where you have this person. So instead, this is very true for people, and it's very true for brands. You want to know where you have a brand and a company, and even more so in the future.
Going back to something you said at the beginning that I want to kind of continue on is that there's a nuance to who you work with and what the current situation is. And you mentioned tobacco companies and alcohol companies. Would you say that some companies have it easier or more difficult to apply ethics and branding, given the industry they're in? And what would an example be on how someone who's probably in an industry that is by default more complex or more difficult to apply ethics and branding, how can they still work within their realm to apply ethics?
So, I mean, one obvious one is tobacco, for example, an industry that is very hard, because what you're doing is very, the product itself is not very ethical, so to speak. But I mean, yeah, of course, there are ways for them to do it. If they would take away the thing that makes people addicted, like the nicotine, and market products that they have that isn't nicotine based, they're at least doing something right. But it's very hard for them to. I mean, maybe they shouldn't have that product, actually. That's a thing for the future, at least. Or if you do something that is very bad for the environment, and if there's no way to change your product, then maybe you shouldn't do that. Because it will be super important for the earth and for every human being that we don't have those kind of products anymore. And ethics and morals will be the thing that will tell people about it. So I think that there are definitely industries that is much harder to navigate in than others.
I also think that, if you're in that type of in line of business, of course it's about should we do it or not, but if you are there, I think it's about looking at different from different angles as well and trying to what can we actually do in terms of ethics for our company, in terms of how we produce the merchandise or how we distribute it, how we work with questions like diversification and gender and things like that. So it's more than just sort of, I think it's much more. So I think they can still, I think they can still sort of do a lot of different things if you sort of look into your own self and say, okay, how are different parts of the company, how can we improve those so that they are on a high standard, having high values? But I mean, they have the odds against them in a way because of the moral standards that we have, that guns are not good, smoking is not good. So it's not an easy situation.
Yeah, but maybe what you were implying would be more kind of a short to midterm view. So like actually making the current situation a lot better. But then what I can also hear from Freddie's kind of response is that over time, we've seen this with a lot of companies, like diversifying your portfolio and actually kind of shifting your focus and maybe completely reinventing your business. So I don't know, the one company that just popped into my head when we were talking is 3M. I mean, they started out as something completely different than what they are today. And there's an endless list of companies that we can look at that have successfully reinvented and shifted focus over time. So it actually does not seem like it's a shut your door and close your business type of situation, but there is actually a lot of kind of hope into a brighter future for a lot of companies who are maybe today in the situation that you're talking about.
Definitely. And I mean, if you can pivot into a new area that is more sustainable as a product or service, of course, that's great. But we also, I mean, it's sometimes it can be too harmful what you've done to the brand. Like American Apparel is a great example, one of the world's most growing clothing brands for a while. But they were extremely sexistic in their ads, and the headquarters didn't understand what that meant. And they thought that, I don't know, Sweden was one of the first countries reacting on this. And I know that their leadership was like, well, who cares about Sweden? We don't sell that much there anyway. And then 2 years later, they didn't even exist anymore. And they were a global company. So there they had been taken too far and they didn't listen to their audience. And that's a very good example of that branding is super important.
But Janine, I also think, looking at what we say and believe ourselves, what you just mentioned is sort of change is inevitable. And as long as you adapt to that change and try to do your best, I think you're on a good way in terms of working towards more ethical foundation.
Yeah, exactly. And as like the problem comes when change happens and you don't, that's super important to have in mind.
So it's a combination of kind of reading the room and the current state of the direction we're going into or the morals that are changing and being, I guess, dynamic enough to adapt to that. And
yeah. And also, I mean, to have the mindset that Gia said, that change is inevitable and it's constant and it's not optional anymore. So if you have that mindset, then it's pretty easy to imagine a roadmap of, okay, if that's true and we believe in that, then we need to quickly start changing how we work and how we do things, and that we can't predict tomorrow. And I think a lot of companies and brands today want to predict everything. They want to measure everything, but it becomes uninteresting because data is everything that I say today, this second and backwards in time. That's data. That's the only thing you can measure. Everything that's from this second and the future is non-measurable. You have to take a leap of faith. You have to take some risk and you need to have vision. And I think that's so important. And in that future and vision, change is inevitable. So looking backwards all the time, this is what people want this second. Yeah, but tomorrow you have no idea and you can actually drive change. Otherwise you're a victim of what you think people thought of you yesterday, instead of actually starting to decide, like Patagonia, we are going to be this. And people, some people will hate us, some people will love us, but this is where we're going.
I really love that. So when we come a bit more practical or actually kind of work related, what are the kind of ways on how you actually implement ethics and branding? So how do you merge ethics with your brand strategy? Where does it fit in? And also, how can you find the cost that really matches your values if you've never really thought about it before?
I think that where it fits in for us, every agency and company probably have their own methods and processes, but to us it's in the core of the company. It's at the top of the company, the leadership, as well as the core of the company. And in our line of work, branding, that's a brand platform, that's the brand values, it's the personality that you want to show towards consumers. It's also the values you show internally. It's also, as we said, the product and service values, that they are not going against the world or destroying the earth, etc. And for us, that's where it fits in the most. Like that, if it's not in the foundation of the brand platform, and if it's not in the leadership, it will be very hard to create change.
And it will also make it hard to have followers that think that that's exactly what you do and perceive it as authentic.
Yeah, we need to do what we tell others to do. We need to stay true to ourselves, stay genuine, and always sort of work towards this this point of view or this mindset. I mean, I'm super proud of that. We had a discussion internally of a new client reaching out, and then one of our employees said, "But you know what? It's a super interesting client, but they're within this business and it's not a healthy business." And I love that sort of we have incorporated that so much. So it's like it's firstly, it's very speak freely because it is a discussion together, but also that it's sort of like in the backbone of the ones that we have here, which makes us super proud in terms of the way of thinking about it.
Yeah,
you must have some pretty heated discussions, I'm guessing, sometimes.
For
what
sure.
What makes you think that?
I was just wondering, I was going to ask you, you know, before, because you said you shouldn't reach consensus, is like what's your approach to going about when you're actually deciding on a client or not? Because I'm guessing somehow you do kind of want everybody to be okay with this, but then also, where will you get with the consensus that you were talking about before?
I think that for us, again, honesty and genuinity is super important for us. And we want to talk to leadership, or we want to have like evidence that, okay, we have the mandate to take decisions in this group for this project. And once we have that, I mean, following your question before, or how you can find the cost to match your values. I mean, that's the thing, like, when we go into a project, we need to find that for the company, or else we're not doing our work. And in order for us to do our work, we can't have consensus on the board, in the boardroom, or at least we need to talk about it with the client and tell them that if this is the way we're going to work, we need all board members to be in every meeting or at least every presentation, because they can't come later and say things. And if you want to reach vanilla, we can do that easily, but so can any other agency. But if you want to truly do things where, and it will hurt a bit and it will be hard, and we may say things you don't like to hear, but if we do it the right way, we will build a relationship not only between us and the client as a new, but also between you and your target group, that is not based on sales messages, but that is based on emotions. And that's something that is so much stronger for everyone. And I think that in general, most of our clients really buy into that when we explain that and how it works. They buy into that, and that's basically how we can guarantee that we matches the values with the cause.
Yeah, and I mean, we often talk about being a CEO of Snusk is sort of like more being the leader of real emotions. I mean, we're such so passionate driven, which is wonderful. So consensus might work sometimes, might not work, but we still have the same vision. And going back to sort of the moral, the authenticity and the transparency for us as well, that we sort of, it's important that people get to speak out and get to, if there's something bothering them with the client that we're working on in terms of ethics, but also in terms of other things. I mean, this is super important to have freedom and access to. But I mean, the passion that we have here is something that drives us towards our goal, which in that sense creates consensus.
And maybe kind of to close this off, what would your three things be that you would like people to know about ethics and branding?
Okay, so we have, firstly, we think it's what we've mentioned, make enemies and gain fans. It's all about daring to take a stand and in this meantime, also being honest and trustworthy. I think the second one is that there are no quick fixes. You can't solve this by just saying something and hoping that it will work. It's a long-term commitment, and you constantly need to deliver on it and have passion for it. And then I would say something that we use very much in our business as well is to stay pink. If you come to our office, you will understand why as well. But what do we mean by that? Well, as we just talked about emotions, it's also there to be emotional, not just rational, more heart, less head. And you can still be creative. You can still have a quirkiness, but it's about sort of daring to look at the person or and not just the facts.
Definitely. I mean, building and spreading empathy in the world is something that we think is extremely important. And also daring to be vulnerable, being your true self, and feel that you have the allowance to just be whoever you were born to be. Whoever you are, and just being able to speak freely about it. That's for us is the best way forward in being best colleagues to each other, as well as a client relationship, as well as being best friends or even in a relationship. I think that we think that it goes through everything. So spreading empathy in that sense, it's just for us, it's normal.
I absolutely love that. Well, thank you so much. The time has just flown by. I wish I could talk to you for like another hour. We have to definitely continue this. It's something that is really close to my heart as well. So I'm always super excited to talk about these things. And I am really, really excited to see where the world is taking you, and I love the difference you're making. So thank you so much for coming here today, talking to us, and sharing your knowledge with the world.
Thank you, Janine. Thank you for having us. We're super happy to be here, and yeah, we would have loved to speak way more. So maybe we can do that next time.
We'll do a part two, definitely.
Yeah, super, super. Big thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you like this episode, make sure to hit subscribe in your favorite podcast app or head on over to frontify.com/podcast to learn more about all interesting topics in the realm of branding.